In June of 2011, I got solar panels installed on my house, not just to save money, but as a science experiment. Now, 10 years later, I'd like to share everything I've learned through this journey with all of you. I spent $10,000 on my system before incentives, and in the past 10 years, so much of my life has changed. I'm on my second refrigerator, my third car, I got married, I have two kids, yet these 10-year-old solar panels have been a beacon of consistency. But it's not entirely sunshine and rainbows. So in this time, what have I learned? What do I wish I knew before I made this decision? Running this channel, I have seen thousands of your common questions and comments about solar. So I thought those lessons deserved a deeper dive here on 2Bit DaVinci. So let's break this down into some major categories. I'll even add chapters so you can jump around based on what you're curious about. Let's talk about my system hardware, what type of panels I went with, inverters, that sort of thing. Dig into the data and see just what my system has done in 10 years. Total system cost, incentive, break-even period. Then let's talk about prices and how it's changed in 10 years. Then we'll talk about total cost of maintaining a system over 10 years, what is really needed, what kind of cleaning or other kind of upkeep do you need to do. Then we'll talk about system reliability and whether I've had any issues or other problems with my panels or inverter, any warranty claims. And then finally, we'll wrap it up and talk about our conclusions, all the pros and cons and all the stuff I've learned, stuff I wish I had known before I got started, and if I think it's worth it and what I think you should know before you go solar. All right, so first let's talk about the system specifics and dig a little deeper into what I chose to do. People make the mistake of assuming the price per watt of a panel is the full system price. But here in the US, we always talk about solar in terms of the full-blown cost. Panels, inverters, the labor, the hardware, everything. And so that is the price per watt number that we'll use in this video. I have five 235-watt solar panels from a company called Silicon that was recommended to me by my installer, but they didn't exactly give me all that many other choices. The problem with that is that the company, Silicon, has since gone bankrupt, and as a result, will not honor my 30-year warranty on these panels. So if anything happens to me in the next 20 years, I'm 100% on my own. Next up, I have Enphase M215 micro inverters. Now, I should probably spell out the options you have when choosing an inverter. An inverter is a critical part of your solar system. The panels produce DC electricity, which is combined and sent to the inverter to then get inverted to AC, or alternating current, for your house. The only exception to this would be if you have a home battery, which is also DC, so the solar would feed right into the battery. You wouldn't be watching 2Bit DaVinci videos without the obligatory science lesson. Wait, I promise I'll make this fun, and you'll probably learn a thing or two about electrical engineering. First, let's talk about voltage and current. If you look at a solar panel, you'll see it's made up of rows and columns of photovoltaic cells. Residential panels are typically 6x10 for 12 of 60 cells, while commercial panels can be 6x12 or even 8x12. Each cell has its own positive and negative lead, just like a battery. But clearly, we need to combine each individual cell together to make an entire panel. If we wire them in parallel, that means we take the negative leads and wire them all together, and the positive leads and wire those all together. If we do that, the end result is that we will have the same system voltage, but the current will increase as the number of cells increases. If each of the cells has a voltage of 0.7 volts and a current of 7 amps, then wiring them in parallel would result in a panel with 0.6 volts and 504 amps. This is a really bad idea, because systems at higher voltages are typically more efficient, and because 500 amps would require some seriously thick and heavy wire to carry. That's why solar panel makers wire individual cells in series. In series, each positive lead is wired to the next cell's negative lead, and so on and so forth. In series, the current doesn't change, but the voltage adds up. So now, we'd have a panel with a voltage of 50 volts and a current of 7 amps. That's much better. But there is one drawback to wiring things in series, and that's shading. If shading falls on a cell in parallel, it doesn't affect the other cells, but in series, it does. Now that we have one individual panel all wired up, let's extend this analogy to the entire system of panels. The first consideration here is the choice of inverter. Most solar systems have a string inverter, one massive inverter that will take the input from all of your panels and invert it to DC. The other option would be micro inverters, where instead of one big inverter, you place small micro inverters under each and every solar panel. All right, so the benefits of a string inverter. They're much cheaper traditionally. If repairs are needed, it's easy to access because it's typically in your garage. If you have a home battery, you can bypass the inverter and just charge directly to the battery. using DC. So now for the cons. The first is a shorter service life, between 10 and 15 years. And that's because they're dealing with a huge amount of current, the entire solar panel system's worth. So as a result, it gets hotter, systems tend to fail sooner. If the inverter fails, your entire system is out of producing electricity. So it's a one-point failure. Inverter goes down, your entire solar system is doing nothing. Since panels would be wired in series, shading on one panel will hurt output from all the other panels. So depending on where you live, shading is going to either be a big deal or not. I have tall trees pretty much 360 degrees around me, so shading was a major consideration for where I placed my panels. This is a consideration if you're going with the string inverter, because based on the inverter's working input range, installers will wire your panels into groups of series and parallel to achieve the correct voltage. But don't worry, if you have lots of trees or shading sources, there is a device called a power optimizer that you can add under each panel to help with this. With the power optimizer, you have the benefits of a microinverter where shading on one panel won't hurt the others. But now you do have more hardware because, well, now you have something under every panel and a master string inverter at the bottom of the house as well. In contrast, microinverters are many instead of one. The pros here would be that shading on one panel has no impact on any other. That's because each and every solar panel is working by itself. Because each inverter only deals with one panel, currents are lower, and the microinverter can last about 25 years or more. My Enphase system has a 25-year warranty. So far, 10 years in, they're perfect. Also, if one microinverter fails, well, you just lose the output from that one panel. The rest of your system is unaffected, unlike in the string inverter case. All right, so now for the cons, price. Typically, microinverters are more expensive because if you have 20 solar panels, you need 20 microinverters. Though not always, because if you have to get solar optimizers because of shading for your string inverter, those costs might add up. So be sure to ask those questions to your installer and make sure you factor all that in. And if there is a failure, well, now you have to get on your roof and deal with a solar panel. It's much harder to work on than it is on a string inverter in your garage. And lastly, if you have a home battery, then you'll be inverting DC from the panels to AC to DC again to charge the battery, which is what I'm doing for my Tesla Powerwall. And it's not exactly ideal because now we have two inversion operations, and so you're losing efficiency at both of them. Unless you get an absolutely massive system, you're probably only gonna need one string inverter. But if you opt instead for microinverters, you'll need as many inverters as you have panels. This gets into some of the tough questions you probably have. Should I get more efficient, more expensive panels and get less of them, or get less costly panels and get more of them? Really, it's a question of how big your roof is and some other things. Well, I'm happy to say there's finally some really good calculators out there provided by our sponsor, DroneQuote. DroneQuote and its founder are very good friends of the channel, and I'm happy to report that dozens of our viewers have gone solar through DroneQuote in the past few years. DroneQuote just came up with its What's My Price tool that helps you modify your system in real time to answer questions just like this about more expensive versus cheaper panels. They also recently released an EV calculator that, based on your model and yearly driving, will tell you just how many panels you should consider to offload even your driving with solar. Try doing that with a gas car. I probably get asked about once a week from my friends and family about solar. And well, when I have questions, Senyue, the founder of DroneQuote, is the person I turn to. What I love about DroneQuote is that they remove the part about solar that I hate most, the salespeople. Just sign up and DroneQuote will have a licensed drone pilot survey your roof so they can come up with the best solar design and minimize shade. With their brand new What's My Price tool, you can tinker with adding more panels or changing the type of panels on their website without having to talk to somebody and ask them to rerun calculations. I love this. This allows you to answer all those kinds of questions and say, what happens if I want to add four more panels because I want to get a hot tub later this year and want to make a little more energy than I think I do today? It helps you answer all that right in front of you in real time. Once you make your final decision, they reach out to get bids from the top-rated solar installers where you live, making them compete for your business. So if you're thinking about going solar or just have some questions, reach out to Senyue from DroneQuote and get started today. If you use our link in the description, droneQuote.net/2bit, you'll get our special rates. Thank you, DroneQuote, as always, for being sponsors of the channel. Okay, next, let's dig into my 10 years of data. First, I have to make a disclaimer. There were two periods here you'll see in the charts while I was remodeling parts of my house where I didn't have the monitoring because I didn't remember to plug it back in. I have five Enphase M215 microinverters that will communicate with a gateway to store all my data on the cloud, With Enphase, monitoring is included for free for life. Most other systems like SolarEdge have something similar, but ask your installers to make sure, because monitoring your energy production each day is one of the great joys of going solar, especially if you're a data nerd like me. By looking at the best day of output in September, a famously sunny month here in San Diego, in 2011 and in 2020, we can reduce variables like cloudiness and dust in the air as much as possible. The results are as follows. The average output after 10 years for the five panels is 90.6%, but the best panel was 92.6% and the worst was 86.2%. Honestly, these numbers are pretty much in alignment with my expectations, and I didn't clean the panels during this time, which would have helped a little bit. But if I had to guess, that one 86% panel might degrade further than the 80% guarantee after 25 years. But as I mentioned before, this gets into the bad news. My solar panel company, Silicon, and the installers, All Seasons, have both gone belly up. So guess what? I'm on my own. This gets to the double-edged sword that is solar. What else in your life would you keep for 25 years? So when picking the brand of panels, keep this in mind. Sure, maybe this company that you've never heard of might be cheaper, but are they as likely to be around in 25 years as, let's say, LG or SunPower? The same goes for the installers. The smaller the company, the fewer mouths to feed, and the lower the cost. The larger the company, there's more overhead, and so prices will probably be higher. But which is going to be around when you need them? But let me just say this. This fact doesn't bother me at all, because even if that one really bad panel completely stopped working, I could get up on my roof and swap in a brand new 400-watt panel in its place in about 20 minutes. I do have easy access to my roof, a one-story house, and a fearless love for being on my roof and looking on my panels. If all of that isn't really who you are, you'd have to factor this in. Just remember that panels are getting better and better all the time, so don't feel the pressure to get the absolute best panel today, as odds are an average panel in 5 to 8 years will outperform it. In case you're wondering about Tesla Solar, it can prove a great option as well, but remember that they will require you to couple it with a Powerwall home battery with your system, which is going to add to the cost. Also, Tesla is still growing, so they may not serve your area. They might have long wait times and other things like that. This gets to my advice, which has remained the same from 2011 to today. I personally don't like huge loans and debts, and that's why my first system 10 years ago was $10,000. It was the maximum amount I was willing to spend. I added to my system in 2020, upping it from 1.2 kilowatt to 5.3 kilowatt with 12 350 watt panels. Now I power my house, all my driving with my Tesla Model 3 for less than what I used to spend on one gasoline fill up. I used to fill up between 3 to 4 times and spend about $200 on gasoline and another $150 to $200 on my house. Now I pay less than $50 for everything, including all the baseline fees, which you can't get rid of no matter how hard you try. And so now this gets into our buyback period. How long did it take me to recoup my cost? And in my case, it was 8 years and 9 months based on how much my bills went up over the last 10 years. They have gone up significantly. I remember complaining about 38 cents a while ago. And now from 4 to 9 p.m., I'm paying 56 cents per kilowatt hour, I believe, here in San Diego. It is absolutely absurd. But that's kind of the thing is, I think energy prices will always keep on rising. And this is a way to kind of offset that. Now, 8 years and 9 months is a really long recoup time. But the good news is here in 2021 and going forward, that number is significantly less. And that's because now today for $10,000, I could probably get a system around 3.8, almost 4 kilowatts or so. And that would recoup itself, especially with our higher prices, much, much faster. I have a calculator that I've built in the past that I'm going to share. So check in the video description for that. And in that, I'll let you put in things like how much you pay for electricity, you know, how much your utility charges you, how much sunshine you get based on where you live, which is something you can find out. And see if your recoup time is within 5 years or so. And whatever makes sense for you, that calculator should help you to understand exactly what your break-even point would be. If you look at the data here, you'll see that there's a seasonal trend. I make way more electricity in the summertime. Obviously, the days are longer and less in the wintertime. There's also some fun facts and some questions I've had that I'm just going to go through really quickly here. One of them is, if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, as most people do, then you're going to want south-facing panels. And that's because The sun will be pretty high in the sky, almost vertically above you in the summertime, and it'll fall lower and lower into the sky in the wintertime. So that's why you want to put your panels on the south part of your roof, because if you put on the north part of your roof, especially in the wintertime, your roof is actually going to block the and cast shade on your panels, and that's not what you want. Also, time of use is the big new thing you've probably been hearing about. If you have time of use billing, that means that you pay for electricity based on the time of day. And if that's the case, you might want to break out some of your panels on the west-facing part of your roof. And the reason for that is they're not going to make as much energy during the full part of the day, but as the sun is setting after 4 p.m., like 4 or 5, 6 p.m. at night, those panels would be making way more electricity at a more expensive part of the day. So for me, if I had west-facing panels, which I currently don't, I could be making electricity at the 50-cent price, you know, at 4 o'clock, compared to maybe only 25 cents during the noon periods. And that's because solar is kind of cyclical that way. It doesn't make power all day. So next, let's talk about maintenance, what I've paid in maintenance cost. Happy to report, 10 years have gone by, I have spent $0 on maintenance. What I typically do when I remember, and I'm not going to lie, there's probably been years where I didn't do anything, but I try to get up on the roof with like a mop or something and clean my panels about once a year, maybe twice a year. Some years I've done it zero times. And what I found is you get about a 5% boost in production. That's like when they're really dirty and you clean them, you'll see about a 5% increase. And that's really all about it. Because you got to remember that naturally the rains fall. If you have rain where you live, San Diego, we can have about 8 month periods of no rain. It'll naturally clean the panels off. And also, as the dirt builds up, the wind will take it off. There's only so much dirt that can build on the panels, typically. I do live on a one-story roof house, though. So if you have a two-story house and getting up on the roof to clean your panels is not in the cards, honestly, I'd say don't bother. Don't worry about it. If you really want to try it out, there are companies now, I've seen trucks, that will come out and clean your panels. Although the minute you do that and you're spending hundreds of dollars to clean your panels, you're eating into the profit that you had from the panel. So I would say typically probably not worth cleaning unless you want to do it like once every couple of years to get a really deep clean to then go from there. And I should probably mention, don't do anything you're not comfortable doing. Being on a roof, solar panels, heights, all that kind of stuff is scary. So it's up to you to do what you do. Of course, this is for entertainment only. So be safe up there if you do something like that. Otherwise, don't bother and hire the professionals. I am not advising you to do anything dangerous or scary at all, for sure. Finally, one more point I want to touch on is the battery aspect of solar. One thing you might not know is that if you don't have a battery system for your house and you have solar, when the power goes out, you're not making power. You might be thinking it's noon, the sun is shining, why is my house in the dark? And the reason is because as a safety measure, the minute the grid is down, the solar panels will stop outputting to the grid. Like the inverter senses the grid, says there's no grid, and it stops. It'd be nice if they could power your house and not just the grid, but that's just not how it works. So as a result, you will not have power. The only way to have electricity in a power outage is to have a home battery. I have a Tesla Powerwall. I will link all my videos to the Powerwall. I have calculators for the Powerwall and payoff periods and stuff. I've done all that in the past. I'll put links to a ton of stuff. The description of this video will be chock full of information. So take a look around. Odds are if there's a question about solar or batteries, it'll be there. But the Powerwall is probably another $10,000 commitment. There are bundling deals with Tesla. LG has some batteries. There's some other companies that are providing batteries as well. And if you have one of these batteries, well then your solar will first and foremost charge the battery up during the day. And then for me, 4 to 9 p.m., I mentioned, is really peak and expensive times. So my Powerwall actually runs my entire house from 4 to 9 p.m. To the utility, it's like I'm not home because my home does not use any energy from 4 to 9 p.m. Saves me a lot of money, especially in the summertime, on my bill. But most importantly, it does a couple of things. The first is, here in California, we have so much solar that we actually waste it at high noon, for example, when it's really hot. That's because we have so much more production than we need and so little at 5 or 7 or 8 p.m. when we are all coming home and using appliances and stuff. And this gets to one of the things. If you're getting solar to save money on your bills, a battery's probably not on your radar, and I get that. That's totally fine. If you're doing this for emergency preparedness and being prepared for like a power outage, you got to go battery, right? Of course. And if you're doing it for the environment, you got to go battery. Because what the Powerwall does to my house is when there's a ton of sunshine, it charges my battery and then outputs to the grid, whatever I'm not using from in my house. And then after the sun starts going down, I then have my Powerwall power my house, not the grid. So my pull or my draw on the grid has completely been flattened. When there's extra, I store it. And then when there's a peak, when the sun goes down, I use my battery reserve. And as a result, the strain on the grid is flattened and stabilized. And that's what batteries do. Otherwise, what you'll see is way too much energy at noon because we have all this solar panel output, and then nowhere near enough later. And that could be a nightmare if you're a grid operator, because how do you run a power plant that way? You can't just turn on and off nuclear plants. You have to deal with peaker power plants, which are really dirty, typically natural gas. And if you want to get around all of that, you got to go battery. So that pretty much wraps it up for us. I have had my panels for 10 years. I freaking love them. They are something that I still get great joy out of. I log into my dashboard to check their output, even to this day, 10 years later, and they have been freaking bulletproof. There's no other piece of equipment I've bought that has lasted 10 years, probably, like they have. And they all look really good. I will say that one panel I think will degrade more quickly. I can see kind of a little bit of a crack underneath the glass, but 86% after 10 years is not bad at all. It's producing energy as we speak. And for the last 2 years or so, a year and a half, I'm in the black. They're actually, they paid for themselves and now they're saving me money. And the rate of savings continues to go up as our home prices and our home electricity prices go up. So I love it. And I am so glad that I made this decision. To be honest, the 5 panels I bought 10 years ago were kind of the kickstart for this entire YouTube channel and this entire journey. So I will continue to share how they're doing over time. In 10 more years, I plan on making a 20 years of solar video to see how they fared. I want to keep them around just to really understand how good they last. Amazing stuff. So hopefully that covers it. And I want to tell you again, if you have any questions that we haven't covered here, we're going to put the information for Senue from DroneQuote. The man is a walking treasure trove of knowledge about solar. And DroneQuote is a great option for you if you're really wanting to get lots of prices and no high-pressure salespeople. So that pretty much does it for me here with Tube of DaVinci. Thank you so much for watching. As we mentioned, tons of videos and calculators will be provided in the description. Check out our channel for other videos we think you'll probably like. If you want to be a rock star supporter of this show, please consider joining our tribe, the Tubit Tribe, which is our patron supporters on Patreon and our YouTube channel members. These are the people who have access to our Discord, who help us research topics, who we all chat with on a daily basis, and you help make this show possible. You've probably heard I'm full-time now. That is a little bit scary, but your support there would go a long ways for me. Thank you so much. This is Ricky with Tube of DaVinci, and just remember, the future is going to be awesome.